Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 20th of September, recording at 9:28 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. And Asian stock markets were mostly steady. Europe, however, after its barnstorming gains yesterday, gave up a little bit of ground, as did Wall Street, following its explosive strength on Tuesday, following the Bernanke rate cuts, and a pretty solid performance yesterday. But this is just a little bit of profit taking in here. Government bonds were hit hard. The 30-year Treasury down 1 and nearly 2/3 points. Excuse me. And similar weakness in the U.S. 10-year Treasury futures, down 1.04 ticks. We had a very weak U.S. dollar in here. I mean, this really did plummet. It fell down to 78.45 on the U.S. dollar index. I believe that's a new all-time historical perhaps low. And we saw, for instance, the euro in here today got up to nearly 141, currently 140.64. Sterling, which has not been strong, but managed to push up to 201. Not been strong recently, I should say. The dollar down, though, really across the boards. And Inform Gold surged on that news, currently trading at 735 on the spot bullion. And that's we did see the highest level, I think, for 28 years in here today. And that will gratify some subscribers. And silver surged up above 1350 on the December contract. Platinum and palladium, again, all participating. Industrial metals were mixed after the gains that they saw yesterday. Agricultural commodities were pretty strong, except for lumber, which has been quite weak recently. And the crude oil market was firm, but natural gas slipped a little bit. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, as Owen said in his fine audio last night, that much of the explosive action that we saw commencing with Wall Street on Tuesday evening has involved short covering. Quite a few people were backing the U.S. recession, spiraling, ongoing credit crisis, deflationary pressures, and they have been shocked. And we have seen, as I say, that short covering in stock markets, also in a number of commodities that they would have sold in anticipation of or in hopes of slower, weaker GDP growth. And that would have been particularly true of some of the industrial commodities, but all commodities, really. And we also have seen an unwinding of some of the speculative long positions that were in the long end of the fixed interest markets, well, all durations of the fixed interest markets, government bond markets in particular. So at this stage, it would not be unreasonable to expect markets to hem and haw a little bit in here. Technically, they're easier to work with because of the strength and persistence of the recovery from those lows on the 16th and 17th of August, called by Owen as climactic activity, as you may recall or can review in the audios and the comment of the day. Now, at this stage, again, I think Bernanke's move was hugely significant, as I have written. And it's significant in that it really has changed sentiment here. And I think that's going to be more than a short-term phenomenon. Now, that doesn't mean that markets all race off into the wild blue yonder, but I think it does certainly mean that people will be reassessing their significant U.S. recession forecasts. Can I maintain that the U.S. will just slip through the next 3 to 6 months without without and beyond without sliding into recession? But it's a close run thing here, obviously. But I suspect the Bernanke move plus the strength of the overall global economy, which will just slow just a little bit, will help the U.S. to avoid that recession. But what we can expect now, as I say, is a little bit of consolidation where markets are testing their highs, but what thereafter, what can we expect? Well, I think the markets that were strong prior to the correction, and our favorite themes, those are the Asian markets, Japan excepted, more on that in a moment, and also the resources markets. Expect them to do extremely well in here. In other words, those big themes that we've been repeating ad infinitum, hopefully not ad nauseum, since they're such great money makers, but it's the global infrastructure demand, it's the increased demand for all commodities that we're now seeing. These are themes that are going to run and run and run, as I've said before. So I would expect markets, I would expect that China complex to keep going, and I would expect India to run and many of the other Asian stock markets to do the same. Wall Street's getting the most aggressive action, so it may well put in a respectable performance, but remember, it's doing it in weakening US dollars. So that's not too bad for Americans. Wall Street offering a little bit of a hedge against the dollar drop for them, but it's not so great for foreign investors unless they have a some currency hedges on. And the markets that have a big capitalization, heavy capitalization weighting in financials and also in property are likely to continue to underperform, but they have probably bottomed. And I'm thinking of Ireland, I'm thinking of Spain, I'm thinking of Portugal. And these saw some quite significant declines, but really are likely to steady up a bit. And in the US, as Owen's pointed out, that NASDAQ sector looks particularly interesting, as would US exporters, as would US oil service companies, as would US biotech companies. They should all do well in here. Now, markets, though, or I should say investors really like a worry. Not too many of them simultaneously, or it becomes panicky, but they like to have a worry or two, as you will have noticed. This is all part of the crowd manic depressive swings, and they won't have to look too far. Now, the key things to watch in here, and these will be familiar to people who've been listening to these audios for a while, key things to watch will be the US dollar. As I've said, a gradual slide in the dollar, that's probably reasonable news all around. An accelerating decline by the dollar would get people thinking about a crisis, not a credit crisis, but a currency confidence crisis. And so that does need to be watched, and the dollar has picked up pace in here recently, and certainly today. I've felt all along that at some stage we would see sufficient dollar weakness to provoke multilateral central bank intervention. I don't think we're there yet, but I do expect that at some stage. But the point is, a gradually declining dollar, not bad background for global stock markets. And one of the reasons for that is that it with these rising commodity prices that we've been seeing are, of course, largely quoted in dollars. And so when you get all this news about oil at $82 and hitting new highs, well, it hasn't hit a new high against euros or the Chinese renminbi. It's up near its former highs, but that just puts that move in a little bit of perspective here. And since commodities are an area where we are seeing the inflation right now, that a strong currency, of course, helps to offset that. So these central banks won't worry too much, provided the dollar doesn't clearly go into free fall. The other factor is the rising yields. Now, Owen said yesterday that there is a good possibility that we had seen the top of the rally in the long-dated government bond markets. I agree with that. The interesting analytical point here is how will the markets actually interpret the declining short-term interest rates that we've seen in the US and we're almost inevitably going to see in the UK, if not this, and the Euroland, if not this year, next year. And indeed, there are already a few comments about India perhaps lowering rates a little bit. So the squeeze is off, and the move is more likely to be towards some easing. Although I think Taiwan raised rates in here does. I think someone says, I think I saw that somewhere. But that's going very much against the general grain. China might edge them up a little bit higher, but a number of the countries that have pushed rates up quite a bit, particularly in the West, or a number of the central banks will cut those rates. I think again, if not during the remainder of this year, they will start to do so next year. Now, getting back to the bonds, though, this is all important because how do bond markets interpret any additional rate cuts that we will almost certainly see? And if the consensus is that, well, that's a sort of a prudent move because economic growth is slowing, then bonds will probably range above the lows that we had seen for bond prices a few months ago. In other words, yields won't push up to new highs for the year, long-dated yields. On the other hand, if people focus more on food price inflation, and if that continues, and the chart suggests that it very easily could continue, then bond prices will run into more persistent selling, and that would be a future problem for stock markets. Not today. Today, and likely over the next few weeks, the softening of bonds will be a positive for stock markets, as some of the money that flew out of equities during the scare and into bonds comes out of bonds and goes back into equities. But I'm thinking really 2, 3 months ahead here. If we have a problem, it's not going to be a credit problem from here on, I suspect. I suspect. Because my hunch is that central banks will go on doing the right thing in here, avoiding the type of continuing credit downward spiral meltdown that might have otherwise occurred. I think we will avoid that now, and that therefore investors will be focusing on other factors such as the dollar and such as inflationary pressures. If they remain calm on inflationary pressures and central banks could help in their job of managing inflationary expectations, if they say food prices are temporary, that sort of thing, and convince people, then that would leave the environment quite favorable for equities between now and into the first, well into the first quarter of 2008. But surging bond yields, plunging dollar, and that those would be strong headwinds for equities. Okay, gold. Well, we mentioned the term perfect storm in here. That still looks to be the case. Targets are for the birds. They're pure guesswork. But looking at the buildup of support, when we get at least a year and a half of sideways ranging, and that's something we've seen on the gold price previously, it then sets it up for several months of quite strong gains. So if that pattern, which you can see on the weekly gold chart, and I'm posting it again today, if that continues, then we really can expect several months of quite strong precious metal prices, and that could easily carry gold up into the 800, 850 region, at which point I suspect that some judicious profit taking would be warranted. Meanwhile, I'm building my positions, but I'm doing it conservatively behind in the money stops. So I'm placing emphasis on money control. It's just a good idea. I don't want to have a faith-based trading strategy. When I do, I usually pay the price. So discipline move here. It looks like a good money-making opportunity. And I'm going to review my investment portfolio tomorrow. And that will be a mostly pleasant process. I hope for you as well. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.